Welcome back to another episode of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. I'm Kevin.
I'm Jet Li.
I'm Daniel, distracted by Simon / Jet Li.
I'm Doug.
Okay.
So, guys, we had it last night. This is like my second favorite thing of the year. Super Bowl's number one. We know we can't interrupt the Super Bowl because that's my favorite thing of the year. But Oscars is like one minus A, like, for me. Like, nobody watched it with me. It was fabulous at my house. I got to quiet, had a little blanket, had a few snacks. Loved it. I have a few issues with the hosting, but I did enjoy the show like I do every year. But I want to say congratulations to the winners, which was not me, which was Mr. Prynne.
Yes.
And some other guy on the show. So, good work, guys.
Thank you.
Bravo.
Me and Kevin. And Kevin, to clarify.
Oh, God.
I'm the other guy. Yeah.
I've forgotten. It's been so long since I've seen him.
Yeah, I have to say my night was pretty uneventful because I couldn't watch it. I don't have cable, so ABC is protecting the streaming. So you would have to be signed up for cable in order to see it, and they didn't run anything on YouTube. So I just watched the updates on Twitter as to who won. Oh. And then I got these weird cryptic texts that I no one responded to me, and I have no idea what they meant. Like one it was like, "It's time, boys. Chow is going to win." Like C-H-A-O. And I'm like, who the hell is Chow? And what are they going to win? And then all of a sudden it's ops. O-P-P-P-S. And I'm like, operations? Like, what does operations have to do with it? Is it like a failure of the screen or something? Or
pretty much.
But I couldn't tell.
I'm sure you couldn't see it.
No, from what I understand, I didn't miss anything, so.
No, not really. You missed some interesting moments. I want everybody else to go first before I get into what I want to get into. Anybody else? Comments? Prynne?
I'll say that the second biggest shock for me of the night was how much of a snack Thomas Vinterberg is. The dude is hunky. I got to admit, he's a good-looking dude. I also thought his acceptance speech was incredibly emotional. I had no idea that his daughter was killed in a car crash. So it was pretty emotional, and I was very happy for him.
He was very happy. He was very happy to be up there. And I'm glad he was up there. I thought his film deserved to win.
Yeah. It was a long speech until he started talking, until it got emotional.
Yeah.
And then continued.
I was going to say I was like the best actress race was the most unpredictable, but I thought it was between Viola and Carey Mulligan, and then McDormand was like, "Hey, I'm still here."
Yeah, I give her full credit. She's got a sword, and that's her acting.
Yeah.
She actually now has more Oscars than Meryl Streep.
Really?
Does she?
Yeah, Meryl Streep has three Oscars. Frances McDormand now has four. Three for acting and one for producing Nomadland.
I would argue I'd rather have McDormand than Streep as an actress in most things. I think McDormand has more range than Streep.
Well, Streep has more nominations. I'm not taking anything away from Meryl Streep. She's a fantastic actress.
No, I think she's a fantastic actress, too. But I find lately she's just playing the same things over and over again. I find McDormand becomes who she's supposed to become. I find Streep is always Streep.
I'm not sure I agree with you. Voice. I'm not sure I agree with that. I mean, you got Meryl Streep can do Devil Wears Prada. She could do Mamma Mia. And she could do Front Page. So I think she's got range still.
I didn't say she'd have range. I just prefer Frances.
That's fair.
I'd take the win back for the Iron Lady, though.
That was brutal. That was a give me. I'm just like, I thought Pinocchio was going to win for makeup, but I was about to, I'm turning this off.
that'd have been interesting.
So, intern, what'd you think?
I didn't watch the show.
Oh. What were you doing then?
I was busy.
Was the house on fire?
Nope. Just busy.
I guess you didn't realize we're doing an Oscar chat tonight. That's okay.
I knew I just didn't want to bother. I just didn't feel like watching the show.
I thought you were celebrating some of your picks.
Nope.
Oh, because no. I was surprised that Fight For You won Best Song. And when you picked it on the show, I was like, oh, okay. So that's a Mr. Bob.
I thought he was doing the bus with Glenn Close.
Oh, the butt?
The butt. What was that? That was the best night of the thing. I thought that whole segment was brutal until Glenn Close. Like, that thing was terrible. Like, why did they have little real logic? Who cares? Why is he on? Like, I don't understand why he was even there, first off, because he doesn't really do much.
Howard? He was good. I like him in Get Out.
He was one of the red carpet people. So
I saw that. That's what I saw. Mm-hmm. That's the one I watched.
That was kind of strange that they did all the songs during the red carpet and not during the actual show.
You know what? I preferred that. I really preferred that, to be honest with you.
I missed... I really missed the clips, though. Because, I mean, especially for... The visual effects and like cinematography and all that, but also with like even with the acting, it's like I'm a person who cares more about the character than the actual person. So I mean, it's interesting like getting all the trivia facts, but it's I want to see their performance, you know.
I thought it was weird that they got to critique. You know, I love you in turn with your work in this, and they did that. I thought that was kind of different. I was like, I don't know if I like this or don't like it. I didn't hate it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that was just with Soderbergh's direction, trying to make it more intimate, right? See these actors as people. Chug, chug, chug.
But don't we always see them as people? Like, to me, they're like I know a strange group of people because we literally watch movies. We live through the movies.
Yeah.
Like, we watch probably collectively 2,000 movies a year. Maybe 1,500 at least, all of us combined.
For sure.
So, I mean, mm-hmm. to me, I don't need to know what they did before, even though Glenn Close maybe watched School Days now because I've never seen it, so I will be watching it next week for sure if I haven't finished it this week. Because I'm working on Malcolm X right now, and it's just I have to be in the mood for it. So I love the film. It's really good, but I can't just casually watch it.
Well, you know, isn't it like 3.5 hours too?
3 hours and 21 minutes. Yeah. I'm just over the 2 hour mark. So, I mean, I came home for I had a long day at work today. I just want everybody to know. And I can't sit and watch Malcolm X. I'm not in the frame of mind to sit and finish this off. But I did watch a great film I got to recommend to everybody called, I forgot the name of it already. It was that bad. Terrible. It'll come back to me. It had the chick from Exorcist in it. I see all her bad films. Doesn't matter. It's got a street gang. It's terrible. Really bad. But it's all right. So I guess that's it. I mean, another year of Oscars. We had.
I want to say something. I thought it was interesting how the categories that we were all wrong about. When I look it over, like none of us got the lead actor. Yeah.
Nope,
we all thought it was a Chadwick.
Nobody.
I think we all
My
Chadwick.
Second pick was the same as Doug's, was Race and Matt. Like, I lost Octopus Teacher. I didn't like the film. I could see why it won. It just wasn't for me. And I picked Time because I thought it was a better film. But that's just me. I have no problem with Octopus Teacher winning. I just didn't like it. It was just a little slow for me.
And well, I'm talking about the categories where we were all wrong.
Yeah, we missed it.
Oh, okay. Well, that one, leading actors.
I picked Octopus Teacher, so I won.
Okay, I know you did. Bob did too, I think.
So did I.
Film editing. So I was kind of surprised that Sound of Metal got film editing.
I was so happy.
Yeah, I don't see that many. I watched that film, loved it, my favorite movie of the year, but I don't think it deserved film editing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we have to decide where you hear where you get immersed in his audio, right? Or they have to decide where you don't hear and where you're immersed in it. So I think that's pretty flawless in editing.
Yeah, but I think we all agreed that was the sound, the combined sound category captured a lot of that. So I don't know. I mean, editing to me is cuts between scenes, right? It's transitions and how you're going to cue between faces, such close-ups, long shots, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but also the organization of the story, right?
Mm-hmm. And then there were three categories where one person got only was the one right. So kudos to Doug for Mank on cinematography.
My Mank Bank.
Mank Bank.
He said that. I'm just so you guys know, just trying to go on, the movie I saw was Savage Streets with Linda Blair. That was the name of the film. Wow. When I came home. Classic.
It's a real head spinner. kudos to Dog, to Bob for the original song.
No, cat.
And the
cat's eyes. Sorry.
You're burning a fire with gasoline there with the cat people. Sorry, obscure reference. And then adapted screenplay, which Daniel got for Nomadland.
The father.
Father.
Or the father, I should say, right.
Thank you. Right. Yeah, I got a little bit more confidence in that pick after it got BAFTA.
Mm-hmm. And the rest, I mean, we were in agreement on pretty much all the other ones. There were only a few variations.
Yeah, because you and Doug pick, or no, you and Bob, Kevin and Bob picked Two Distant Strangers correctly, yet, right?
Yeah.
It was my second pick. I told you on the show I had two options. That one, the one I picked, and that one. I was wrong.
What did you guys think of the order that they presented the awards? Like,
annoyed me.
Right.
Director being so early.
And screenplays first.
And then picture before the lead acting.
Well, it annoyed me because I thought I might miss them. I'm like, did I miss them? Because I went upstairs to go get something. And I came back like, did I miss Best Actor?
I'm looking on Twitter. Because I was just checking on Twitter and I'm like, why did they give them to them early? Because an Asian person won director and a black man won supporting actor. It seemed almost like bad coincidence that those were the very two first ones. Like maybe they were trying to prove a point or something. I don't know. Either proving a point or badly showing. I don't know. It just seemed kind of weird to me. But I'm glad that all the news is like, Chloe's going to do Eternals next. So there was a lot of that. So.
But it's also just so weird presenting Best Picture before, like, the actor and actress, because, like, Frances McDormand pretty much gave her speech during Best Picture, right? And she did the howl for the sound designer that died. Can't remember his last name. Or, well, his last name's Wolf, but I thought that was interesting reading up on it after. But, like, and I don't think there's as much of a film Twitter backlash if, because it just ended so awkwardly with, like, oh, Anthony Hopkins, he's not here. Good night, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I felt bad for the people in Sweden and the people out in, I don't know, Greece, I think somebody was in, maybe I'm wrong. But those people were up late. France, England, like, they were up to like 2-3 in the morning. But I'm like, they don't even get to attend the Oscars. I mean, they got to stand out here in some random green screen. And same with, what's his face? What's in the morning? You see Borat's in Australia for some reason.
Sacha Baron Cohen? Yeah. Nyla Fisher
with his
him.
Wife.
Yeah.
So she's just standing there going.
The biggest general complaint. That's a good imitation. the biggest complaint I saw on people's social media was that they didn't see most of the movies, so they had no relevance to them. Our friend Joe, former Extra Features participant, was saying that he felt that if it's going to be like this, maybe they should have waited 2 years to do this to allow more people to see the films. But I thought that was
no.
I think there's plenty of options to see these films. They gave you extra time
until April. That was too long.
Nomad's Land came out in February. Was the latest one to be released. I guess Father would have been the hardest one to see.
Father even came out to rent on Amazon Prime a few weeks ago, like at least a month ago. So
you could have seen anything you wanted. I mean,
there's plenty of opportunity.
Okay, Joe doesn't get it for free on Netflix. He ain't watching it.
Right, and I think most of the films were on. I was telling people to watch Nomadland on Disney Plus since it became available about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, but like waiting 2 years, like it was long enough for the extra 2 months to wait, like in April instead of February.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the other major complaint I heard was that it was a really depressing lot of films. There was nothing very, I'm trying to think of the right word, enlightening in the sense that, you know, you'd look forward to it or you'd want to rewatch it. They were all pretty hard message films.
I mean, Eurovision.
Yeah, in one category, but we never.
Yeah, yeah. Ding dong.
But they didn't do that song, right? It was the other one. It was.
Oh my God! If that had won, I would have lost my crap.
I wanted it to win, honestly.
Just above me, I was going, that better not win. That better not win.
I don't like the film, but honestly, I was rooting for it because that's the only song in this category that actually respects what the original song is. The other four are just during the credits. This is the only one that worked.
I thought you couldn't have
narrative.
A song play over the credits.
No, they all four of them, except for Hushovic, were over the credits. Because, I mean, the big moment in One Night in Miami is when Odom Jr. is Sam Cooke sings that big song, Born by the River.
Hold on. Did they change the rules? Because before, you couldn't have a song in the end credits. Because Eddie Vedder, for that film where the guy dies in the van, couldn't have his song, Big Wide Sun. Because it played at the end of the film. So they must have changed that category. The song just has to be played during the film at some point.
Maybe.
I think the rule is now it has to be the first song played over the end credits.
Okay.
So at least people would hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So why I'm like picking up my coat and my bag of popcorn I've eaten and my chip wrappers and the...
Unless it's a Marvel film where you're sitting waiting through the credits to see the post-credit scene.
Well, that's it, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know.
As you get in the popcorn, Odom Jr. starts telling you to speak now.
Yeah, pretty much. So I had a good time. That's about all I have left to say about the Oscars. Thank you for guys for joining us this year. And let's listen to Kevin's rant for 45 minutes about Justice League.
Okay.
I'm going to turn my camera off for this and my microphone because I'm going to leave. I don't like you with the way that you talk to me.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
Zack Snyder's Justice League, directed by Zack Snyder, obviously, starring Ben Affleck, Gal Gadot, Henry Cavill, Amy Adams, Ray Fisher, Jason Momoa, Ezra Miller, Willem Dafoe, Jesse Eisenberg, Jeremy Irons, Dara Diane Lane, Connie Nielsen, J.K. Simmons, Ciaran Hinds, and Jared Leto. I feel like Regina King when she was singing, or when she said all the Borat names for Best Adapted.
Oh my God, that went on forever.
She didn't stutter. She did. She did great. But she mispronounced Borat. She mispronounced Borat out of all the names.
But how did they say Minari? They didn't say Minari. They said Manary or something.
Manary. Yeah.
Manary. Is that how I'm supposed to say that?
That's the proper way to say it from the Korean translation. I'm pretty sure.
But what does the grandma say in the movie? She doesn't say that, does she?
Nearly. I think she says it in Korean.
Oh, maybe. So, since Kevin's decided to be mad at me and turn off his camera for some strange reason, intern, you're up. Oh, Kevin, you decided to come back. No, it's a fake mask.
Kevin didn't come back. I don't know who this guy, who I am.
The eyebrows, though.
My name is Jacques Leblanc.
Jacques Leblanc, what's your opinion on Justice League Snyder Cut?
It was better than the theatrical cut.
Nothing else to say on that, Mr.?
Well, I don't want to keep you. I know you got things to... No, it was... without going into a long rant about things... sorry, I'm enjoying my eyebrows.
Are you keeping that on the whole time?
I can take it off, I guess.
No, it's okay.
No, it's all good.
I'll put a different mask on. I'm painting now. I thought it was more coherent. It actually, after all this garbage about not being able to, you know, having to get Joss Whedon to come in and re-edit and make the film better and so forth. What we saw was a really stupid studio internal fight, essentially, where a lot of people felt that Zack Snyder was a problem and they needed to bring in Joss Whedon to fix him and make a better, lighter movie. And so what they did was they spent a lot of money to reunite everybody together with cast and crew and costuming and makeup, special effects and everything to add a joke to every scene, pretty much. And so the Zack Snyder cut is basically longer versions of each scene with no jokes. So That's basically my opinion. I thought it was really more entertaining. It was more coherent. The Joss Whedon version, the theatrical cut, was terrible. Filled with a lot of stupid, awkward humor inserted at the wrong points. And that's about it. This was much more coherent and better, in my opinion.
Coherence, not a word I would use to describe this movie, but
I mean, it's still got the long, slow motion. I mean, it's really about 2 hours a movie in 4 hours, but it's still, it makes more sense than the other one. Because everyone gets a chance in the finale to show their powers and pull their weight. And I don't think that's the case in the Joss Whedon version. So like the Flash gets a big time reversing moment, which is set up, was erased in the theatrical cut. Cyborg gets his moment. Wonder Woman cuts off the villain's head. Darkseid looked amazing. I'd say it's a better film, but it's still a Zack Snyder film. So it still has all of the same problems that he would have with all of his other movies. It's too dark. It's too long, too much slow motion, too much crackling electricity and things like that. Slow motion rain. But I felt I watched a movie as opposed to the other one, which I felt was like a bunch of skits thrown together and badly edited.
Intern?
I agree, but I did admit, like, I missed that scene. It was long, so I liked parts of the new one and parts of the old one, so combining the two might have worked. But there was the scene where they're taking the people out of the Flash, like, runs with the truck with the three people. Meanwhile, Superman carries the entire building. So that scene I missed in the new version, but overall it was. I don't know if longer is better, but there were scenes that were better, like the look of Darkseid.
But Bob, you know that, like, and they had to excise the entire population from that town. Essentially, the reason why he picks that location is it's toxic. No one could live in that environment
because it was.
So Joss Whedon decided to add a family. Yeah. So they decided to add a family living in the toxic city.
Yeah.
Which made no sense whatsoever.
Because that makes sense. Chernobyl, right? Mm.
Yeah.
I know. I mean,
if they had three eyes and four hands and, you know, the fish spoke, it made some sense. But
it's an episode of American Dad, is it?
Chernobyl.
But it did have that. I said, it was all a joke. I mean, there is a funny joke where Flash saves the family and then Superman flies by with a building. It gets a laugh. Okay. It gets a laugh, but it's kind of out of place.
I will say, not everything about Joss Whedon's version was awful. The one scene I missed in the Snyder version was Batman telling the Flash, save one person, then you'll know what to do next. I thought that was a good hero moment, as opposed to Snyder's version where everything is dark, everybody has to be tragic. I'll throw it on the table here. I hated this movie. I hated the Whedon version. I hated the Snyder version. I did not like it at all. I actually wrote down a whole screed of things I did not like because I watched it weeks ago and I was afraid I'd forget
it.
Read it.
Pull up the document.
Okay. Well, my first note was that Superman's agony is what wakes up the mother boxes. It's just his that travels across the world, waking up the mother boxes. That's just Snyder, you know. Pain being the motivation for the story.
I wake up in the morning.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was like his deathgasm, basically, right? So, but the argument was that they didn't invade Earth beforehand because Superman was there. But that doesn't give them any excuse for why they didn't invade Earth before Superman was there.
Well, they got their asses handed to them by a bunch of gods. So, Darkseid got his ass kicked so hard in the past that he forgot where the anti-life equation was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a ridiculous story point.
Right.
My next note is Wonder Woman murders dudes right in front of children. And then this one little girl is like, wow, can I be like you when I grow up? You mean a murderer? Yes, sweetie. Yes, you can. You can murder as many people as you want.
Mm-hmm.
Other notes I have, the police in Greece are frickin' awful. That this statuesque, 7-foot-tall, gorgeous woman can just walk up to a scene of a crime without being stopped by anyone or even noticed when she goes to get the flaming arrow. What are my other notes? Did we need an entire music video of Nordic women singing an ode to Aquaman's sweater?
I got to tell you, I love that. I love that.
Why?
It basically implied that Aquaman was screwing them all. That's what I basically got the sense that.
Oh.
I got the sense that, why are they all pining him for him? And she's smelling his sweater and all that. And I'm like, so he must swim in and impregnate all the women? And then they all have aqua babies in the year.
The aquagasm.
That's right. That's the only thing I can think of because why else? I mean, it was surreal. And actually, I thought it was fatty crazy, which I liked. So.
Well, he also takes off his clothes before he goes back to Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he comes back, he always has new clothes. Does he have just... Yes. A cache of clothes on every beach in the world.
He's like Spider-Man. He has little backpacks of clothes everywhere.
Spider-Man must find them in every building he goes. Like Aquaman, oh, I was on this beach a year ago. I left my sweater over there in that cave. Come right back.
And then he always finds the beer bottle to smash in slow motion.
Yes.
Yeah. Steps on the glass. Doesn't faze me. I'm Aquaman.
Is Aquaman's Marvel's version of Thor just gets hammered, drinks all the time?
I was about to say, without the overweightness, that's basically Endgame, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Hercules. He could be Hercules. I accept that.
Well, no, what it is, I think, is that's Jason Momoa's character. And Aquaman, this is how he acts as Aquaman. He's like, well, I can't figure out how to do it any other way than the way I live my own life, which is hard drinking. And bottle smashing, you know, I don't know. Because I've done conventions with him, and he drinks everywhere. He drinks on the go. Wow. He's always got a bottle with him. And
Does he smash them?
No, the trick is to give him plastic cups.
But he still tries to smash those. He puts them on the ground
and
stops.
Sprinkles them up and throws them on the ground.
Okay. Slow motion. Want to go over this. I still love that scene when Superman wakes up and sees the Flash running by him.
Yes.
It's my favorite scene in this film. I absolutely friggin' love this. I enjoyed the Snyder Cut. Sorry, Doug. After watching that Whedon atrocity, if we could take off the very end of this film, that weird dream sequence that made no sense to me at all, I'll love this film. I gave it a solid good score because I enjoyed everything but the last 20 minutes. It just was too weird for me. I like Lois Lane. I like the scene with Lois Lane going to Superman's grave every day. That made sense to me. I could see that happening. I like that drawn-out scene. And I like the Amazon scenes. I thought it really explained a lot more to me than I didn't get in the Whedon cut. The Flaming Arrow, I was kind of like, this is DC. I just got to accept those kind of things, which I thought was kind of cheesy, but like, okay, we need you, Diane. I'm like, that's the easiest way they can have to fire some arrow at her? Like, shouldn't they be able to communicate by, I don't know, smoke signals or something? Who knows? I don't know how they communicate in the comics.
Paradise Island has a cloaking effect around it, right? So
right.
If you did smoke signals, they would be obscured. You wouldn't see them.
Well,
and nobody knows where it is as well.
Cell phone?
Nobody leaves the island, so how would they get the technology?
Diana,
there's no 5G towers.
She hasn't been back. Diana has never been back. Well, she has in the DC universe, but in the DC EU, the movie universe, they have not.
She's not been back.
Yep.
Okay.
Did you like the Martian Manhunter, super powerful character who does nothing?
Well, why is he in the
superhero card revoked?
What was that?
So he pretends he's Ma Kent.
Yeah, he does.
To try to motivate Lois Lane. And then he shows up after the fight to tell Bruce Wayne he exists. If I were Bruce Wayne, I'd be like, well, thanks for all your help. you knew what was going on. Why didn't you give us a hand?
He was busy. He was investigating this phantom stranger or something. I like the bat crawler a lot more than this. I love the bat crawler. I thought it was actually worked really well in this.
Some of the Whedon choices, like the wall with the painting of Aquaman on it and the boxes.
See, I didn't rewatch the Whedon cut. I didn't think about doing it.
He's in the place in the Nordic town, right, before the singers and all that. And he knows that he's seen the video. He knows that Arthur Curry is Aquaman, right? And then it takes the Joss Whedon version, they extend it. So he looks at the wall and he's like, oh my God, the guy with the beard, that's Aquaman. It's like he assumes that Bruce Wayne is an idiot or something and hasn't figured it all out going ahead of time. The same thing with catching the parademon in the Joss Whedon thing at the beginning with this terrible cartoony scene with these swinging around the rooftops and then the guy's like, oh, because Superman is dead, right? Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for reminding us of everything, setting it all up. And thanks for the demon exploding and leaving on the wall the image of the three boxes. Somehow when demons explode, they leave maps behind. So.
Harry Potter?
Yeah.
I do have a question.
Go ahead. No, I'm
sorry. Aside from Snyder wankery, why did Cyborg's dad kill himself?
There was no need
for him to die, though.
No, I guess
he was sad over the death chasm.
Yes. Well, so he was marking the box, right? He obviously had the box in order to
mark the box.
Right. Well, he marked it with a heat signature. Why did he stay in the room? I have no idea. Maybe the thought was that what's his name would have come in to interfere with the process or killed him on the spot. I don't know.
But there were. In this world, there were literal superheroes outside the door that he knew were there. And Cyborg comes into the room just in time to see his dad die. It's just more Snyder wankery having to be dark. It has to be deathly serious for the hero to be motivated. And that's
But it worked. He was motivated. He was motivated.
But he was also motivated to do good earlier by when you saw him manipulating funding through a bank to give that family extra cash.
Yeah, but he was helping people. He wasn't necessarily committed to helping the Justice League.
Yeah, but he was still there with them. He helped them revive Superman. I don't think his dad needed to die.
No,
it didn't make story sense to me.
It was just they decided to do it to add an epic, like another level of tragedy to the characters. And that is definitely a Snyder thing to add the tragedy. I did enjoy the scene with Iris. That was really, I thought,
that was
really
awesome.
Well done. With the hot dogs. Good. Yeah.
I will agree with that.
And I think that's Jesse Clemens.
You like something.
Well, the Flash was the one character that actually looked like he was having fun, and I liked that. He was the one guy who wasn't deathly, tragically serious the whole time.
Yeah, I like his intro a lot.
Issue I have with the Flash TV show, I know we're not discussing that. The Flash doesn't look like he's having fun. The Flash in the comics is always upbeat, always in a good mood. It's like the happy DC book. I mean, maybe it's changed now. I haven't read anything since Silver Age. And probably Bronze Age. Kevin would have to tell me if it's changed a little bit.
I thought the Flash TV show, there was a lot of fun science-y stuff in the first season.
Yeah.
So but it does get kind of dour after a while. And it might be Jeff Johns being part of it. I don't know.
Maybe.
Is that the show Danielle Panabaker's on?
Yes. So do we need I want to go back to the last 20 minutes because it really just bugs me. Was there a point to that, Kevin? Do we really need this 20 minutes?
Yeah, I think Snyder was trying to hedge his bets and get a third film, like another, or fourth film, I should say, and set it up so that they, oh, if this is popular enough and the fans support it, then they'll let me do the next installment that I want to do. So I'm going to leave them with a teaser for where I'd like to go with it. I mean, so it redeemed Jared Leto.
It did.
As the Joker.
I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't know why Mira has an English accent.
It's Mira. She needs to be kicked off for what she did to Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm. Did she have that in Aquaman or no?
No.
The English accent?
No. No, yeah. No, no. Okay. But William Dafoe shows up in this film, and I don't remember him being in the original one.
He wasn't. No, he was excised.
Okay, well, I like that. Like I said, I think this fleshed out JLA a lot more. Steppenwolf actually looked like a real villain to me in this one.
He looked like an angry porcupine.
Which is fine. He looked better here than he did the other one. The other one, he looked like a tool.
He looked like a weird stop motion character.
Yeah, I thought
Ray Harryhausen was moving him slowly across the screen.
Oh, mother, I love you, mother.
I'm just going to say, I'll chime in with my thoughts quickly. I watched half of it because my computer died and my charger is like got too hot, so I had to turn off my computer for a bit. But I watched up to
One second. Your computer got too hot, or your charger got too hot?
Well, my charger got too hot, so I turned off my computer.
I'm never busy looking at Thomas Vinterberg.
And my computer's too hot. My computer's all 6 years slow old, motion. So it's too hot. See?
What the? I've never. Charger. What is that? A PC plug-in?
It's a charger. It's a PC.
For a PC or a, yeah. Oh, a PC? That's what I recognize. Sorry, I only use a Mac.
Ah.
So not that people can see this, but we're showing each other our things. Here we go. See?
Man, that sounds wrong.
I did not agree to that.
You keep drinking your coffee.
I liked what I saw of it, but I didn't really remember anything of the 2017 Justice League, because if a movie's mediocre, I don't remember it at all. And that's what I thought of that first one. I liked the intro to The Flash. I liked how Steppenwolf looked. Yeah, I liked the layers on him. I think I cut off at when they were knocking on the door and they were about to bring Superman back. And then I just read up on the rest. I'll finish it eventually, but DC's not really my bag anyway. But I would be curious to watch the first one and then watch this one and just see the difference in the scenes. Cause I don't think that singing for Aquaman for the Deathgasm was in the theatrical cut. Cause you can tell kind of when they cut, you know, cause I think I remember them, not doing some of the Flash bits. Like was the thing with Kirstie Clemens, was that in the 2017 cut when he saves him with the hot dogs? Okay, because I like that scene. That was probably my favorite of what I had seen so far.
Okay, I'm going to set Kevin up beautifully here. I just want to say, I don't dislike the DC universe, but I don't love the DC universe. So, Kevin, what is wrong with these DC films? Why aren't people embracing them, do you think?
I think there's an audience that enjoys the Snyder stuff that is well behind it. I'm not one of them. But, like, Jet Li really loved it. I think the problem generally is the way that Warner Brothers does these films is it's more like a committee effort as opposed to the Marvel stuff where it's Kevin Feige has the creative lead on everything and he makes the final decisions. And there's a certain consistency. I mean, I'll admit, actually, the Marvel product is starting to become product. It's basically, these are the acts, these are how things are going to work. It's like a lot of them follow the same structure. It's just what genre can we hammer into this superhero film? You know, maybe we should make this a Western and superhero film, or maybe we should make this a heist film and superhero film. While the DC films are more like, let's make them dark and violent, or try to backtrack and make them light and fluffy. And so they're all over the map. I mean, Shazam is light and fluffy. Wonder Woman is somewhere in between. Wonder Woman 1984 attempts to be light and fluffy, and it's a disaster. Birds of Prey, I don't know what that was. It was okay. I didn't mind it, but it was a very strange film.
That was like candy and fluffy. Just candy coating.
But it was still very violent, all things considered. So.
Well, next we have James Gunn coming with the Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm. And I'm excited for that. I think he's going to get be more true to the concept of the comic book. But he's also going to be James Gunn. He's going to have lots of songs and goofy things, and Peacemaker is going to say some funny stuff. And it looks
good.
Does
that appeal to you, intern? Would you enjoy some more songs in these movies and some more jokes?
I don't know. I guess.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Guardians.
Well, I think it does matter. If it's something you enjoy, wouldn't you want that in a film?
There was no song and dancing in Mank, and I like that. Trial of the Chicago 7, there wasn't any song and dance in there. It doesn't always have to be song and dance, you know.
Well, you love Mamma Mia. You saw 11 times in theaters.
But there was dancing in Another Round, and I don't think you loved that one.
That was a good movie.
The end dancing scene was okay, but it doesn't always have to be song and dance. There's movies that I like that don't have song and dance.
Fair enough. Have we said all we need to be saying, Kevin? Are we done?
Well, what about King Kong?
I know. No, we're getting to King Kong. I was going to
get I have nothing more to rant about. Sorry.
That's what I just wanted to make sure. Do you want to
Are you okay? Do you want to rant something? Do you want to rant about
No, I have no rants tonight.
Do you want to take some shots, make people turn off their cameras? And...
No, I think
No,
I'm good.
You don't want to do that? You all right? Okay. No.
Can I put that mask?
No.
Can I bring it back to the... Wait, fuck off. Can I bring it to the Oscars? Back to the Oscars for a minute?
Oh, we're going back in time. Back in time. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, they sped up that memoriam so...
Oh my gosh. I'm glad you brought that up. I was trying to read the names like I normally do. I'm like, can you slow this down so I can read who these people are?
Like you said there was like no uplift in movies at the Oscars, but that with that music, the peppy music, what the...
Burning through. Where was Pink singing Over the Rainbow again? Like that was just tearful.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to bring... I just felt like it would be irresponsible if we didn't speak of the memoriam and how badly that edit was.
That was a terrible edit. And then it sort of... It was like fast, 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 fast. Sean Connery.
Yeah.
And then, did you notice they even had the person that died last week? The one from Harry Potter, she was in there too. Whatever.
Corey?
I apologize. I can't remember. She was in Harry Potter. She's Malfoy's wife. Mom. That's why I remember. She died. And it was on there. I'm like, wow, that was pretty quick. So, I mean, I got to give them credit. They added her in, obviously. But I felt bad because, I mean, some of these people I don't really know. Like, I mean, I wish they'd give us a little bit more time to the writers and the screen. Like, just so I can get to know. I mean, obviously, the actors get a lot of play when they die, which is fine. I understand that. But I would like to see, you know, like, Simon, Extra Features Podcast on the bottom. Just give me something so I know what these people may have produced I had seen or maybe written I had seen, as opposed to who was that? Oh, next person. I'm like, that was too fast for me. I agree. What do you think? You didn't watch it. Never mind.
Are you saying you want to die for the next year so you could be in the memoriam?
No. Well, they wouldn't put me on anyway. They're like, that guy hates movies. He's out of here. Just ask the intern. He tells me every day. So I'm sitting here, guys. This is like the greatest year of movies for me. I got a new JLA cut. I got a Mortal Kombat movie coming up. I have a Turtles coming up. I have a bunch of stuff I'm looking forward to. But I got my favorite. I'm a huge King Kong fan. Massive. Seen almost every King Kong film, maybe one or two. And I've seen every Godzilla film, except for one or two. So King Kong versus Godzilla is my jam. Hit it, Daniel.
Godzilla versus Kong, though, actually. Starring, I didn't write down the director. Adam Wingard?
Wingard.
When did you add this one to the podcast? I love that. I wasn't on the list before.
It got added last minute. I just found out tonight myself.
Yeah. It's starring. Yeah, I honestly didn't see the email either, but it's okay. So starring Alexander Skarsgård, Millie Bobby Brown, Rebecca Hall, Brian Cherie Henry, Isa Gonzalez, Julian Dennison, Lance Reddick, Kyle Chandler, and Demian Bashir.
Should I start?
Sure.
Did they, how can I say this is not what I wanted in any way? Some random little girl talking to Kong at the beginning. I basically describe this as life as people that have no careers anymore are in a movie. Rebecca Hall does nothing anymore of any interest to me. I thought she might have something done. Dame Brashear doesn't really do much. Kyle Chandler has two lines and out of the movie. What, is he obligated to show up for this?
I have because some they wanted to use Millie. They used Millie, so they had to bring her in.
No Millie without
that. And how to beat the ultimate evil, you spill something on a keyboard.
I mean,
what the hell was this movie?
It's basically like drowning Bruce Willis in a puddle, right?
Pretty much. That's the way I felt. I mean, I enjoyed the Kong scenes. I mean, he's got a nicely shaped butt. I'll give him that. Godzilla looks fine. The villain looks fine. But I want an actual story. Do these guys watch the old movies? Obviously, they did because they brought in the bonus villain, which I don't want to ruin for people who haven't seen it because I think it's kind of cool. I don't know. I just thought the subplot was terrible. Them running around the building and the guy, nobody knows he's the podcaster and he's podcasting in the same building. Oh, sorry, Jerry, I need your computer. You're not supposed to be here. Oh, Jerry, you better go over there. Something's up. Oh, I better get these files. What was that about, Kevin? Can you explain this to me? That subplot made no sense. And why is Alexander Skarsgård here? His career's right in the toilet, too, with the rest of those clowns.
He used to be Tarzan, so he's used to working with apes.
Oh, God. Is that why they got him hired for this? Like, terrible. Life of the D-list. All these people.
Oh, it is fair.
I think you're insane.
270 episodes.
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. Like, these are A-list actors brought into
No, they're not!
No, they this is an A-list film. This is a big-budget film. It's not
these
a good film.
These aren't A-list actors.
Some of them are.
Kyle Chandler. Well,
Millie Bobby Brown is A-list.
You just complained that they're not doing anything big right now. Well, they're doing this. This is their big movie.
This is terrible. This is
you know
a
how many
movie.
People saw their face in this stupid movie that everybody watched?
As the 3,000
right.
theaters.
And it's not going to help Alexander Skarsgård.
Sure it will. They're going to be like, that's the guy from...
True.
Well, he was in that awful remake of The Stand that just was on Prime that I watched. But he's, you know, he's acting. He's working.
I mean, what Doug has to say.
Rebecca Hall's been in like 3 movies every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so all life of this... But I like her work, but I wouldn't say she's a star.
And this movie was like...
She was in Iron Man 3, which made over $1 billion at the box office.
Not because of her!
No, but that doesn't mean anything. She's still... Not because of Robert Downey Jr. either, but because of the IP. Mm. It's...
Yes. Okay, right.
They both get perks of that.
Right.
I hated the story, but I loved this movie. This is what I wanted.
I get that. I can stuff that.
It gave you Godzilla versus Kong, not once, not twice, but 3 times, possibly 4 if you include the thing at the end where they, you know, not spoil anything. It was – I hated the human stuff, but I hate all the human stuff in these movies. But anything with the monsters I loved – even Hollow Earth, I think that's a stupid concept. I hate everything about it. But it was fun to see King Kong trollop around in there, beat up a giant snake dragon. I had a blast with this.
I like the axe scene. I thought the axe was kind of cool to give him a weapon to fight Godzilla. I thought that was really good. I will give that full credit. Kevin, you want to say anything or you're just going to...
Sure. You know, I thought I have the same problem with all of these movies in that I don't care about the people at all. I don't care about the human aspects of it in any way, shape, or form. I mean, we had to see a little bit of that in order to bring in Mechagodzilla, but overall, it was the monster stuff was okay. The stuff on the ship was interesting. You know, Kong is really made out to be a sympathetic character. He's our hero, basically, of this film. The Hollow Earth stuff, I thought that was really poorly executed and conceived. Some stuff that I think was meant to be at the end of the film was inserted into the middle of the film. So the whole, like, does it take a ship to go through some weird thing to get into the Hollow Earth? Or can you just punch a hole through the planet and climb up? I don't know. I didn't quite get that. I also didn't quite understand where the sunlight was coming from in the Hollow Earth, but okay. yeah. And things have certainly devolved on Monster Island since we last saw it. You know, it's now basically a little game preserve, and it's all technology on there, so... would I have paid to see this? No, I'm glad I did not pay to see this. So, I you know, was on, I was able to play on my phone and do other things while it was on in the background until the big monster scenes came up.
You watch this on your phone?
No, I was able to play games on my phone.
Oh,
during the, okay. Like having Millie Bobby Brown in this movie made no sense whatsoever. It was just like, oh, we got to keep her in there because of Stranger Things, and
but she's gonna be the clicks for the YouTube because everyone all the kids love her, so mm-hmm. she's just there.
My daughter loves her. Has not asked to see this movie once, mm-hmm. just so you know.
Okay,
well, what my daughter does goes, oh, Millie Bobby Brown has makeup. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. That's all Millie Bobby Brown is for my daughter, and she likes Millie Bobby Brown. Couldn't give her less what she acts in. She likes Stranger Things, but modern makeup. Did not have to see this.
That's probably
They went out of their way to establish there were humans on Team Kong and there were humans on Team Godzilla. Basically, that was it. And so we had to bring in the Godzilla cast, some people from the last movie because it was a Godzilla movie. And now we're bringing in some new people who are the Kong people, the Rebecca Halls and Skarsgårds and the Meat Girl.
Okay.
Who's already doing cons.
Yeah,
even though there are no cons.
Yeah, her name is Keely Hottie.
What, she's already
doing.
Girl?
Yeah, she's already doing public appearances and signing things for people.
Of course she is, because this is it.
Yeah.
She's going to be with Rebecca Hall in 3 weeks. The next con, I'm sure.
I liked her.
Doing one of those virtual signing things.
Listen, Rebecca Hall can just find her way onto Netflix or something. She'll be fine.
Oh, she's on her way. She's dead ahead.
Well, Rebecca Hall,
she's great.
Yeah, there's a horror movie coming up that's played in front of Kong, right?
Yeah, I forget the name of it now.
I'll look it up.
Bob, did you see this movie?
Oh, Bob did not see the movie.
Nathan, okay. I didn't know I was supposed to see it for tonight, so no, I didn't see it.
I thought we talked about it and you said you had seen it.
No, you didn't tell me about it.
No, we did talk about it.
We did. You said you gave it to somebody and then you got it back and you had 2 days to watch it and you watched it.
That was Justice League. That wasn't King Kong.
Oh. Oh, well.
It wasn't. There was no email. I didn't get an email that said I had to watch it for tonight.
Okay. So the horror film for Rebecca Hall is...
Hang on, Doug's got it, but Doug gave it to us.
Oh. Well, I just thought we did.
Yeah.
Lighthouse.
Well, you both can say it together in unison. Night Owl or something.
Doug, 3, 2, 1, The Nighthouse.
Nighthouse.
I beat you, I'm sorry.
That's fine. No,
it's all good. Bob, since you haven't seen the film, are you on Team Kong or Team Godzilla? Or does it matter to you?
Doesn't matter to me. It's going to be enjoyable if I'm going to watch it, which I am.
Okay. See, now here's where I have a big problem. I love Godzilla. Absolutely love Godzilla. But I love Kong. And can I be on both teams at the same time?
Why not?
Because, I mean, I can't decide. Like, this is my favorite fight. Like, I want another 400 Kong films.
As long as you don't have Son of Godzilla going hee-hee-hee in the background, yeah.
I feel like he could be in a different party.
Well, I just hope he has Son of Godzilla in the next one, because I think he needs to make a return.
It's probably more fun if you do pick a side, though.
Then it'll be Team Kong.
Yeah, I'm Team Kong. Because... with my thoughts on the film, mostly because I actually really like Kong Skull Island. I didn't like the 2014 Godzilla. I didn't like the whatever the hell the Godzilla all
King of the Monsters.
All,
King of the Monsters.
Thank you. Yeah. Something about frickin' monsters. And I didn't like that one either. But I love the battles more than anything, for sure. I actually like this film. I would have wanted to see it on the big screen. I wouldn't have mind paying for it. But I respected what they tried to do with the humans here. Like, I liked I already forget her name, the little girl who was trying to communicate with Kong. I thought that was an interesting aspect. Millie Bobby Brown. What are you doing, Simon? Oh,
my
you're signing.
My sign language. I'm signing.
Fuck's sake. But no, yeah, Millie Bobby Brown, she didn't need to be here, but I thought it was, I kind of like that dynamic between Julian Dennison from Hunt for the Wilder People. I like him as an actor, and he was from Deadpool 2.
I love him as an actor. Absolutely. Everybody needs to see that film, but he's always good when I see him.
Yeah.
He was good in Deadpool. Is it Deadpool I saw him in?
Deadpool 2, yeah. He played the little villain.
I liked him in Deadpool. Now, I think we're done pretty much.
Well, I wasn't done, sir. I wasn't done.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I said that.
No, I was just gonna say, yeah, I like the dynamic between him and I like Tyree Henry, even though your point of him doing like 260 episodes and no one recognizing his voice is interesting. I'm just being condescending. That was it. I like the film.
Yeah, before we go, I had something I forgot to ask Doug early in the preamble. Doug, you got to go to the movie theater and you never brought it up.
Oh yes, that's right. I rented the theater for me and my
hold
sons.
On. Back this up. Yes. You personally rented the whole theater.
Yes.
And just before we go on, did anybody here get an invite? Did I miss an invite?
How many people here are fully vaccinated?
And in the United
there
States.
You go. Yes.
I have one shot. I think three of us have one shot. One of us has zero shots.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm 20. How old am I? I'm 26, so I don't know when.
Yeah, Daniel has. I have one.
But yeah, I rented the theater, and me and my boys.
Hold on. I got more questions. Sorry. How much does this cost?
I'm sure it's different everywhere. For new films, which this was, it was $200.
Wow.
Older movies, it's $100, but you get the whole theater. Nobody else is allowed in.
Okay, so who came in with you? You and your sons?
Yep.
Nobody else?
Nope, that's it.
So you had space for me?
Yeah, but you're in Canada.
Do you have to pay for snacks? Those included?
They do offer a snack pack, but we weren't going to be taking off our masks.
Yeah. But like, for not going to the movie theaters for what, at least a year, that's worth it for $200, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something I'll do every weekend, but my kids want to do it for Suicide Squad when that comes out. So if they're still offering it, I'm probably going to be doing it for Suicide Squad in August.
Okay, cool.
I have questions here before you go. How did it feel to walk inside a movie theater? Something Canadians haven't been able to do for a year and 15 months now?
It was weird. I was nervous going in, but everybody I saw had their masks on. The theater was, you know, completely empty. It was just me and my boys. We could sit wherever we wanted. And we got to see a new movie. We got to see Nobody on the big screen, see Bob Odenkirk and his rock-hard abs. So it was worth it.
It wasn't a full year that we've been unable to go.
No, exactly.
Because I've been in one for – there was a two-week period where we could, or a month period.
They've been opening sporadically.
I saw New Mutants back in August.
Same here. They saw three movies.
There are whole parts of Canada where there still are movie theaters open.
Are they open? I didn't know that.
Drive-in. Yeah. The drive-in in Newmarket's open.
Up until about 4 weeks ago, Ottawa had movie theaters that were open.
Yeah, for two weeks. But I was waiting to do a year to the date to see Raya, and they closed the day before.
Okay.
Because I hadn't seen Onward since March 15. March 13 was the last time I went to the movie, so I was trying to wait for a year to the day.
I have one more question for Doug. This is the most important question.
Yes.
Where did you sit?
It was the smallest theater because they're not going to rent out the big ones. So my youngest son sat in the middle in the very last row. I sat in the row in front of him, and then Owen sat in the row in front of me. So we were in the middle, the top three rows.
You guys don't like each other?
Well, we could spread out.
Socially distanced.
Yeah, why have to sit next to each other when we have the whole place?
Well, I'm sitting right beside Kevin next time I go to the movies with him.
Now, if you want to watch a second movie, is it half off for the second one?
No, that they'll charge you full price for everything.
True. Yeah. So. Okay. And when you say like old movies are 200, like is that like just so well, new movies? Is it like how many weeks is that, or just if it's a new if it's its first run, it's 200 for the
first run is 200, but then they have a list of like you could get Raiders of the Lost Ark, John Carpenter's The Thing. Those were the two that jumped out at me.
So guys, when we get fully vaccinated, Doug's telling us he's going to rent out a movie theater and invite us. I think that's what he's trying to say.
Sure. John Carpenter's The Thing is on me. I'm allowed to have 20 people. In. So
I'll come do the bet.
Bob, have you seen John Carpenter's The Thing? You probably have never seen it. So Bob's in. Kevin's in. Because Kevin probably have a convention or something we have to go to. So
I no longer have a passport, so it doesn't matter. Won't be able to go.
You guys can't go. Well, before we go, I have some big news. I think I've told you guys, but I don't know if I told all of you. But I know I haven't told
You're
the
pregnant.
Listeners. I am pregnant, yes. I gave birth to 200 DVDs. We are now on Spotify. We are now on iHeartRadio. I think, I haven't checked, but we should be according to what I've read. And I'm working on a few more things. But before we go, I'm going to go over my big box of DVDs. I did pull out some more to talk about.
Okay.
Did anybody buy anything before I bring this over and talk about it, Kevin?
One sec. Let me go grab it.
Okay. Well, he's go. Okay. I'll wait for him to come back. I'll think. So listeners, when you know you can't sleep and you want to listen to me, you can now. That's Spotify Extra Features. And also on that link are all our interviews. 20 Minutes with Chad, and that blonde that can talk. It's all there. And Daniel is back, so I don't have to wing it anymore.
Oh, yeah, just to let you know, though, the name of her show is The Blonde Who Can Talk About Anything.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just The Blonde Who Can Talk.
Isn't it This Blonde Talks About Anything?
She does.
This Blonde Can Talk About Anything, right. I think, is the title. Yeah.
The fourth take was the best.
I'm still waiting for the episode on tofu, so when that shows up, I'll be tuning in.
I was just going to show that I got, it's called Cohen Film Collection. Is two film noirs, Cast of Dark Shadow, and Wanted for Murder.
Oh, don't show that to Doug. He'll have to buy it. It's a noir. He doesn't have.
Directed by Lewis Gilbert is for Cast of Dark Shadow, and I don't know who directs Wanted for Murder. It's classics of British cinema.
Look, sounds good. Kevin, buy anything? Doug,
Nope.
Okay, if I did these last time, I apologize. So I have another pile just in case. And the funny thing is I've been watching the pile, so I probably watched some stuff and got rid of it already. Did I do these ones, this Nicolas Cage stuff? No. Bringing Out the Dead last time? Nope, didn't do that one. Did I do The Siege with Denzel Washington?
No.
Okay, I got that one. And When a Stranger Calls. Hamburger Hill, which I have heard forever, which I have not watched. And then I have some should I keep this? Like, I have a block, coming in a Blockbuster case. I thought this was kind of cool. And it's Rebound with Martin Lawrence, which I probably did see, but I don't remember. But I think
I
might
keep
it.
I like that as a kid.
Because it's got the cool case. Now, what the hell is this? Antonio Banderas and Woody Harrelson play it to the bone? Has anybody ever seen this?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
Like, who read this?
Movie?
I presume so. I don't know. I haven't watched it yet. It says, two best friends take a shot at hitting it big. Well, oh, wait. On the back, it shows them boxing. So I presume they're boxing. And a Helen Mirren movie I haven't seen called The Clearing. So this might be good because I love Helen Mirren. And William Dafoe is probably overacting, but that would be worth it. Robert Redford, that's my mood.
Dafoe.
So thank you guys for putting up with me as usual. Everybody have a great night. And if they make it,
Simon and Doug wear the same colored shirt.
And Anthony Hopkins wins.
Bye.
Good night, everybody. We don't have any speeches planned.